revolutionary in the truest sense of the word. That is how one critic describes the unique sound of the band Algiers. Television coma, all my blood's in it. The band's fusion of gospel and punk, combined with lead singer Franklin James Fisher's grinding yet soulful vocals, produce what another ecstatic critic called a heady, vicious condemnation of bankrupt culture, as you can hear in this song called Blood, off the band's self-titled debut album. 15 minutes of freedom. Algiers' three members all hail from Atlanta. Though they've left Georgia, bassist Ryan Mahan says the South is a big cultural marker hanging over our heads. And the region remains a complicated source of inspiration for the band, as I found out when I talked to lead singer Franklin James Fisher about the origins of Algiers' unusual sound.
While I was teaching in France, increasingly I found out that people were had no idea about the history of slavery in America or African-American history. And those two things are inextricably bound to not only American history, but the history of the modern world. And so I started teaching a lot about African-American history, and in the process I became pretty, I guess for lack of a better term, I became Afrocentric within that year or so span. A lot of that turned into what would become Blood. It's definitely about exercising demons and having a constructive reaction to political oppression.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so, in the music, you can hear it. You can hear those demons trying to be, or you trying to exorcise those demons, because it's so raw and emotional and honest. And I want to hear a little bit more of that honesty. So let's listen to But She Was Not Flying. You wrote these songs before Ferguson, before the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. right? Tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, in a way, it's like it feels like you could have written that song just yesterday.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately. Well, you know, the thing about the Black Lives Matter movement and Ferguson and Eric Garner and everything that's happened in the past year and a half, it's not new. It's something that's been happening for years and decades and centuries even. You try to find a way to deal with it and to cope with it in a manner that doesn't make you a victim insofar as perpetuating a cycle of violence. And the structure of the song is such that at the very beginning you're dealing with a very standard gospel form, wherein you have a call and response talking about how things are going to be so much better in the afterlife, on the promise that you do everything that you're supposed to do within that institution in order to get to the afterlife. But that's complicated. And who was fit to go out and die? And who was black enough to be left behind? I come from a Baptist church background, and my family is very, very spiritual and very active in the church, and I am as well. Both sides of my parents, they're from the country in North Carolina. They would listen to this really great gospel music on the radio on Sunday morning, but we went to, for the first couple of years when I was growing up in the suburbs of Atlanta, we went to a predominantly white church, and it couldn't be any different from the music that I identified with.
I'd love to have us hear another song. It's got an interesting beginning to it. It's called In Parallax, and let's listen.
They would say, take time and listen. Grandma used to tell us she didn't have a bit of education, but she had this God wisdom.
Sounds like some sort of voice recording or field recording at the beginning of that of the song. What is that? What is that?
And she said, take time sometimes and listen at a dog bark. So he might be trying to warn me.
That's interesting. You're the first person to ask about that. That's my granddad. I was really close with him. We had the same birthday, actually. You know, I was as close with him, I think, as anybody could ever be with a grandparent. And he died when we were recording the record. It was rough and pretty sudden because he had his health all the way up to his last couple of days. Mm. Most of the time, you know, he would just play with us and he would be pretty laid back and make a lot of jokes. He was hilarious. But every now and again, he would just, everything would be quiet and he would just start talking. He would just lay some wisdom on you. And it got to the point where we would just start recording him.
Your voice in this song comes from, I don't know where. Like, such a deep place. I mean, it just like kind of makes your hair stand on edge hearing it.
I don't know. I think I'm just loud. I used to always get in trouble in school for talking, and it took me years to figure out. It's not that I was talking more than the other kids. I was just louder than them, so the teachers always singled me out. And I guess I was able to just find something that I could channel that to my advantage. But no one's got the ceiling, I know that not a one is saved by he who takes the first one, or by he.
You know, you had mentioned earlier that you were in France and you were teaching in France, and that made me think about the name of the band, Algiers. Mm-hmm. Why did you name the band Algiers? I mean, there's a long history between France and Algeria itself. Does it have something to do with that?
Well, definitely. You know, Ryan came up with the name of the band, and even before we were able to make any substantial music, he had this idea of wanting to make a place where we could bring all of our political influence and philosophical influences together with the music. We very much view music as a way of asserting resistance in defining things on our terms and defining things on the terms of people who have no voice and no other means of communicating. So I taste my soul sweet.